When people say to me, you know, what is, you know, a key to being a successful studio owner? And I'm like, you're resourceful. You know, you can figure stuff out. You can find solutions. You're not just like throwing your hands up saying, I don't know how to do this. Like, that can't be an excuse anymore. Like, you can't throw your hands up and say, I don't know how to do this. If you've got the internet, you can figure really anything out.
Welcome to the Healthpreneur Show with Yuri Elkheim. If you are a health professional looking to build and scale your business online, you've come to the right place. Each episode, you'll learn the practical and proven tips of how to scale your health business online and hear incredible conversations from world-class thought leaders. Let's get started.
All right, guys, we are in for a treat today. On the show, I am joined by my good friend, Clint Salter. Now, in case you don't know who Clint is, let me give you a bit of background because I've known Clint for a number of years now. We're actually in the same mastermind together. And although he's not a quote unquote, you know, health business owner, he actually helps dance studio owners. And he has an amazing company called the Dance Studio Owners Association. And I mean, just he'll share a bit of some of the stuff they're doing in a second, but just amazing business he runs. And just to give you a better sense of who he is, he's an Aussie first and foremost, which is bonus points. I'm Canadian, Aussies and Canadians, I think there's like this brotherhood somewhere. He's an award-winning entrepreneur, business development strategist, and best-selling author of two books. By the age of 16, he had started his first dance studio. And by 28, he had founded and sold three companies. And he was named the youngest senior celebrity agent in Australia. And since then, he's gone on to help 34,000 dance studio owners grow their businesses and improve the lives of 800,000 children through those programs that his dance studio owners are able to put out into the world. So I'm really excited to introduce you guys to Clint Salter. Clint, welcome to the Healthpreneur Show.
Yuri, thank you so much for that incredible introduction. And it's always a pleasure to connect with you and chat. Yes, Canadians and Aussies do have this kind of special bond for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm excited to dive in because I'm always amazed at what great entrepreneurs are doing, not just from a marketing level, but also from a delivery level. And I think you're an exemplary business owner when it comes to just like loving your clients and doing whatever you humanly can to help them. So for our listeners who don't really know much about like what it is you do, how would you in a quick snapshot, give our listeners a sense of the types of people you help and some of the ways that you help them improve those businesses?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm the founder of the Dance Studio Owners Association, and it is our mission and our obsession to help our studio owners grow their business while reclaiming their life. And that is a really important piece, that last piece. We want them to grow their business and be financially secure, impact the lives of hundreds and thousands of students in their local communities. But we also want them to have an incredible, rich, joyous life where they're spending time with their families, they're at home having dinner with their partner and their kids, and they get to go on great vacations. So that is our mission. The way we do that is through a number of different programs. We have a core 8-week program called the Student Attraction Intensive, which is a training program to help them bring in more students and keep those students. And then we have our Inner Circle Coaching Program, which is a high-level 12-month, a minimum of 12 months. We have members for 5 years now, which is super cool. But that's where we get to do really deep work. That's where we have our virtual events, our live events, one-on-one coaching, group coaching, curriculum, awesome stuff. That's how we work with our customers. It's pretty simple because our focus is really on, as you mentioned, delivering the value to them so that they can transform their businesses and their lives.
And in our circle, you're kind of known as the retention master. You know, if I were to use a term, because you have such amazing retention year over year. I want to talk about this year, 2020. Obviously, COVID's impacted so many industries, but your industry specifically, like we're talking like brick and mortar studios who've had to close down. How have you been able to help these businesses? Because you've not just like help them, you've helped them grow. and your business has exploded this year. Talk to us about some of the stuff you've been able to do while many other industries have suffered.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember the day, it was a Thursday in March when like the whole world went into lockdown, and we had 4 days to figure out how our studios could continue to deliver value and keep generating revenue through their studio if they weren't allowed in their business. So we quickly put together a virtual handbook for our studio owners on how to take their classes virtual, how to create messaging that will keep parents engaged in virtual classes and also the students engaged, and how to get the team members on board. There was a lot of challenges and a lot of work we had to do in the 4 days, but I was incredibly proud of our members because they were like, let's do this. Like they rose to the occasion and pushed through a really challenging time. And it, you know, it's a time we're still going through now. You know, I just had a conversation beforehand with one of my groups, and they were saying, you know, it's so hard to sell Zoom classes. I'm like, because you're not selling Zoom classes, you're selling a virtual dance experience. And so getting them to really think now, as some places are going back into lockdown again, and it looks like this virtual thing is going to be in their business model for a very, very long time, it's important that we start to educate them on the benefits so that their business can continue to grow and sustain itself. Because a lot of studios have gone out of business, you know, over these last 8 months. There's people that are not in business, and we get members who are not inside of our community, but studio owners who have had to close down, who are looking at people to buy their business or their bars or their mirrors. And it's really heartbreaking. So we have worked incredibly hard to give our members what they need to get them through this time. We had stages where we were doing 2 calls a day and bringing in additional coaches and additional events for our members as well, just to ensure that they could get through it. And you know, we're still going through it now, and that support is still where we're focused for our members.
That's great. So when you look at, let's say studios that are not in your community who've had to go out of business because of COVID or whatever else, what are you finding, and whether it's conversations you've had with them or, you know, through the grapevine, what are you finding from a mindset perspective separates those versus, let's say, a bunch of your students who've been able to make this shift and who've survived and thrived during this unprecedented time? What is like, what have you noticed to be like one or two factors that really make the difference there?
Yeah, one of the first things was the value that they put on virtual classes. A lot of people outside of our community just offered free online dance classes. So they were getting paid for their in-person experience. They were like, we can't do in-person anymore. Virtual is not valuable, so we're just going to give it away for free. And they thought they were only going to be doing that for a couple of weeks. But it's very hard to offer something for free for a couple of weeks or a month or 2 or 3 months, and then turn around and say, actually, we're going to start charging you the same price we were charging you for in-person classes. So that's the biggest thing, is realizing that there is so much value in a virtual dance experience for the students. And as soon as we went virtual with our members, I said, guys, pricing is not changing. Your pricing is not changing. It is staying the same. You're going to work 100 times harder than what you have with your in-person business. So everyone deserves to be paid the same rate. And there was a lot of resistance, and we had to do a lot of coaching with our members around their money mindset. Mm-hmm. And it worked out fantastically for the people that took that advice, because they're still doing that today, and they're still generating the income that they would have been from their in-person classes. So that's the first piece. The second piece is really just sheer persistence and resilience. You know, our studio owners keep getting knocked down. You know, they're allowed to open, they're shut down again. They can have 10 people in a class, now they can only have 3 people in a class. And so, they keep getting knocked down, and they just keep getting back up. And I think that their dedication to our community that we have at DSOA is they keep showing up to coaching calls. They come to the events. They book their one-on-one course. So they're very engaged in the community. And I always say to them, guys, don't suffer in silence. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know if you're suffering. I don't know if things aren't working out for you. So join us in the community and be involved and ask your questions and book those calls so that we can help you through if there are any challenges that that come up, which there's been plenty, and we've been able to help, which has been awesome.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's the value of having coaching like this is it's, I think everyone should have a coach. It's just so, so valuable. You talked about resilience, kind of like getting knocked down and coming back up, which I think is a tremendous muscle to build, if you will. What was a moment in your business journey where you got down or knocked down once or maybe repeatedly? And what did that thought process look like for you to keep going even during those tough times?
Yeah, I think it was in my second business, Dance Life. I started an online magazine for dancers many, many years ago. And I thought that I would sell advertising to the online magazine and everyone would just give me stacks of money to advertise to my audience. And I quickly realized that no one wanted to give me money because I hadn't really built an audience. And so that didn't work. And then I was like, well, I'll charge members to be a part of our membership. That didn't work either. And so I had to keep persisting with an idea. I knew that there was something there. I knew that this dance, online dance magazine was a thing, and it was something that wasn't available in Australia. And dance was very closed at the time. You never knew kind of what was going on or how people were booking jobs. And so I really opened it up, and I just stayed so dedicated to delivering value to our readers and posting great interviews and footage from different shows and different dance companies. And finally, as I kept building the audience, people started knocking on my door to say, hey, can we advertise in your newsletter? And so, but that was like nearly 2 years into it. I was making like no money and paying off a loan for that business, but I just stayed persistent and like we mentioned, resilient of all of those no's. And, you know, each business that I've created or every situation that I've been in, there's no's. I mean, I get no's every single day, whether it is a failed Facebook ad, you know, that is happening, that's a no, or it's someone saying no to one of our programs, or it's someone leaving a program, or it's one of our team members are no longer wanting to be a part of our team. I mean, there's no's all the time. And I think, one of the greatest gifts is just that I've been able to have during this journey is just bringing acceptance to any type of rejection that you may get. And I think it's a lot easier to handle that if you know where you're headed and you're holding your vision quite tightly, because you kind of know the journey and you know the path that you're on. But it's very hard to get up and push through it if you don't have clarity on the mission that you're on.
Yeah, totally. So the ability to handle the no's, was that something that was just part of your fabric from day one, or is that something you started to develop callus around, if you will, over time?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that I've developed over time. I was definitely a people pleaser early on in my entrepreneurial journey. I didn't want to upset any of our dance parents at our dance studio. I didn't want to upset my business partner in the dance studio. And I still don't like upsetting people, but I think it's just the awareness and acceptance of I'm going to disappoint people. I'm going to disappoint people every single day, whether it is my partner or whether it is our team or our customers. It's inevitable when you're living a big life that you are going to disappoint people, and it's never intentional. It happens. And so that has brought a lot of kindness to myself as well. When I feel like I may have disappointed someone, it's definitely been a lesson though. And I still remind myself of it. I haven't got the lesson completely. It still comes up a little bit, but I feel like I'm progressing, progressing in that lane.
So that's all we can ask for, right? Is just progress.
Exactly.
Slowly but surely. I think your story can relate to a lot of what, you know, most health professionals go through, because I think in the health space, we get into this field because we want to help people, right? And then everyone feels they want to help everyone. And so they have a tough time narrowing their niche down because they don't want to alienate people, or they reduce their prices so it's more accessible. Mm. So how do you, and maybe you've seen this with your clients as well, is how do you have those conversations where you can help people step into their power and kind of maintain those boundaries, but at the same time, understand like, it's okay if you turn some people away, maybe it's for the bigger, for the greater good in some way. Like, how do you have that conversation if it comes up for you?
Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, I remember when I started consulting, I was consulting to every type of business owner that wanted to give me money, you know, from the gardener to the lawyer, to the graphic designer and the gym. I was just helping any type of business owner get clients. And then I started working with some studio owners and I was like, oh, I know this space. Like I know this space. I grew up in this space. I know these people. I know what they're struggling with. I can really help them. And I remember having dinner with a friend and she was like, you know what? I think you should just focus on dance studio owners, right? I think you need to have like that niche. That needs to be your thing. And I was like, no, like, I don't think there's enough of them. I don't think they have enough money to pay me. I don't think I'm going to be able to earn money from this. And she challenged me to do an experiment for a year where I just focused on dance studio owners. And that was just over 6 years ago. And, you know, I haven't looked back. And I share that lesson with our studio owners as well when they're looking at the studio up the road or down the road and they're saying to themselves, well, they run competitive classes and they've got an intensive stream and they have a really big preschool program and they're doing adult fitness. And I'm like, yes, but that might not be the path that you need to go down. And I always say to them, what does success look like for you? Like for you? I actually just ran a two-day planning session. And I was like, guys, don't go to your team. Don't go to your partners. Don't get advice from your parents. Let's get clear on what you want to create instead of hearing all of those other voices and listening to what everyone else wants you to create. Like you got to get clear on what you want first before you kind of look outside yourself for feedback and advice.
Yeah, that's great advice. So during that year that you're dedicated to the dance studios, is there a moment in that journey where you're like, am I on the right path or am I going down the wrong rabbit hole here? We're like, oh my God, am I losing out on opportunities? Is this the right thing for me to do? Was there any of that at all?
That first 6 months, there was definitely a lot of, cause I was still getting contacted by other businesses as well. So there was still a little bit of like, oh, you know, they want to give you money and you're like, oh, I'm saying no, because like I promised myself I was going to commit to this niche, you know, and serve these people really deeply. And so, yes, definitely for the first 6 months, it was hard because I was still seeing opportunities outside of it. And I was hustling, you know, I was doing a live webinar every single week and I was, you know, selling a $599 program and I loved it. It was exciting and it was new. But I was also like, wow, like this is exhausting as well. And it took, you know, just over 6 months where I started to see some more traction with the program. And I then started seeing incredible results from our members. And I really just started falling in love with our business and the people that we served. And I think from that point, I was like, this is awesome. Like, I love these people. I know this market so well. I'm really helping and making a difference. I'd started making some money and, I was in a good place. The other thing I really loved is I didn't have to learn about all the other markets. You know, like when I was working with all these other markets, even though I was teaching them marketing, there was still this expectation that I knew a little bit about their industry and how it worked. Whereas when you're just focused on one group of people, you can go so deep and you can become, you know, that go-to expert in the space. And you can soak up all of the knowledge and everything about their industry. And it's so nice to be so focused.
Yeah, totally. And just from like an outsider's perspective, like if I'm a dance studio and I'm thinking, how do I grow my business? And I see marketing guy over here. And then I see company that specializes in dance studio owners. It's a no-brainer, right? I'm going to go with exactly. You every day of the week. Because we all want to find that person who's like, well, they understand what I'm going through. They understand my business.
Totally. Yeah, exactly.
So what was like, you know, within the last couple of years or even before when you're younger, like what's a lesson personally or business-wise that you've had to learn the hard way?
You know, I think, you know, one of the biggest lessons that I've had in my life is, you know, as I was growing up as a kid, I danced. I was the only boy in our school that did dancing. I was the only boy in dance group. I was the only boy at the dance studio. And so I was, you know, I was bullied quite a lot at school. And I remember going to both my grandma and my mom at the time and was thinking about quitting because I was miserable. I was sick of being teased. I was sick of being bullied and I was like, you know what, I should just give this dance thing up and I'll like go play soccer or football and like, you know, do whatever all the other boys are doing. And they both had the same message to me was, but doesn't it make you happy? You know? And I was like, yes. And they're like, well, don't stop delivering happiness to yourself. That is a lesson that I ask myself at the end of every night, what's one thing I did that made me happy today? And I have carried that through. That has guided our vision. It has guided my life. You know, I packed up my life in Sydney. I moved to New York. I'm now in Miami with my incredible partner. And happiness and joy are very important to me, And so I'm grateful for my mom and also my nan who instilled that lesson because it was hard, you know, it was hard until I kind of got that permission from them. I was like battling with the things that were making me happy because everyone was telling me like, that's not what you should be doing as a boy.
Well, and especially in Australian culture, which correct me if I'm wrong, is a very machismo type of, you know, let's go play footy. Which is kind of funny because if you think of people playing footy, they're in little shorts and tank tops.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's amazing. So, you know, like the resilience and the belief in yourself, like these are, I mean, I'm assuming like going through that, these are traits that you found a way to cultivate from those tougher times into what you're doing now, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, during the planning intensive I just ran, we did a big section on self-belief because for me, no one can be a louder cheerleader for you than you. Like you have to be the loudest cheerleader for yourself, especially as an entrepreneur. It's really crucial. And I often see business owners that are seeking validation from other people. And why it's nice to have that recognition and validation, it doesn't really mean anything if you don't have that belief in what you're doing. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs that come and go. They start businesses, they might have a great 1 year or 2 years, and then they disappear and you never see them again. And I think a lot of that, and I've had friends in similar situations, and I think a lot of that is really wrapped up in their self-belief and the fact that they didn't have much to begin with. And as they grew their business, they were reliant on other people telling them how incredible they were. And then when that success kind of dried up, they didn't have that internal peace in them that could keep pushing them forward to kind of ride through those challenges and those tough times. So you've got to back yourself, you know, 500%. And at the end of the day, for me, I love my family. I can count on my hand like the five people that I adore and listen to religiously and appreciate kind of their feedback and what they're saying to me. But at the end of the day, I'm very focused on kind of the mission that I have created and bringing along our team and our customers on that journey, but really backed 100% by like, I've got this, I can do this.
I mean, if you guys are watching or listening to this, I cannot emphasize how important that is. Like that self-belief, that confidence, that determination. I think that faith, like, and this is the, I think in my experience, this is the intangible that I think separates those that just keep going, right? It's like, you know, shit hits the fan, you don't know what to do, but at some level, you just know you're going to figure it out. Like you have that faith in yourself, in the universe, in life, that it's just going to all work out for you. And like, how do you, we see this, and I'm sure you see this too, is for people who don't necessarily have that. So let's say with the pivot of having to go virtual during COVID, where you have a dance studio owner or a brick and mortar practice or a clinic owner or any brick and mortar type of business. And now they're thinking to themselves, I know I need to do this. I know I see the writing on the wall. I know I need to make this pivot, but I don't know how. Now, I think for some people, they're like, I don't know how, but I'll figure it out. Just like I did when I learned how to drive, learned how to tie my shoes. Yet there are others that lack the belief that they can figure it out, even with the right guidance. So like what kind of, what wisdom or guidance can you give those types of people who might be lacking a bit of that self-belief?
Yeah. So the first thing is they forget what they've done previously. They forget all of their life before this moment where they've had, where they have had opportunity to be resilient and move through challenges and overcome obstacles. So, you know, one of the things we do frequently with our members is we look at wins, you know, we look at progress, we track progress. And so the simple conversation of saying, and I had this conversation frequently in March and April with some of our studio owners, was we just start the conversation with, what are some things you're really proud of that you achieved last year? And then we'd start talking about the challenges that might have come up, that might have stopped them from moving forward and how they overcome those challenges. And we talk about them in their business, we talk about them in life, to get them understanding that this big thing at the moment, COVID, you know, is scary and we haven't faced something like this, but that they have the tools in their tool belt, right, to be able to take steps in the right direction. And as we mentioned, you know, coaching is so valuable. So having coaching, you know, next to you, kind of holding your hand and helping you through the challenge and the obstacles, I mean, you can't really lose. And so it's our responsibility to keep the train on the train track. So we want to hold them accountable. We want to keep them heading in the right direction. And we want them to know that if the train is kind of getting a little bit wobbly, we want them to know the places they can get support from us and help to keep moving them forward. But it's a constant reminder of what they've been able to achieve previously, because people forget. People forget how incredibly resilient, strong, persistent they are until they are reminded or they remind themselves. So that's a big piece for us.
Yeah, that's great. I tell, obviously you deal with a lot of women. I'm like, if you've given birth and you've raised kids, this is going to be a cinch compared to that. Like, oh, let's just goodness. Put that in perspective, right?
Yeah. You can do this. Oh yeah. It's incredible. The other thing though, that's lacking is resourcefulness, yeah. You know, and I noticed this a lot with our, you know, our Inner Circle Elite members versus some of our association members, is that there just sometimes seems to be a lack of like being able to figure this stuff out. You know, and I, when people say to me, you know, what is, you know, a key to being a successful studio owner? And I'm like, you're resourceful. You know, you can figure stuff out. You can find solutions. You're not just like throwing your hands up saying, I don't know how to do this. Right. That can't be an excuse anymore. Like, you can't throw your hands up and say, I don't know how to do this. If you've got the internet, you can figure really anything out. But what's missing then, though, is the will to like learn and experience and test things and try things. You know, I often say to our studio owners when they're frustrated that, you know, something's not working. Let's say that they've done an hour of a Facebook ads training and they expect to bring in 100 students, right? And I'm like, that's not how it works. You know, they buy their studio software and they think their studio software is going to work in 30 minutes. That's not how it works. And so having that that persistence to like really sit with something, learn it, master it, you know, really kind of dive into, you know, your marketing or your finances. People want to put profit first into their studio. You don't just read the book and it happens. You've got to go to the bank. You've got to continuously look at those accounts. You've got to put the money aside. You've got to keep learning. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of like overnight success thing doesn't happen. And so I'm constantly reminding our studio owners that, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day and neither is going to be, you know, their seven-figure studio.
Well, this internet thing doesn't work. That's crazy, right? Like if farmers looked at internet businesses, they would be like, you guys are a bunch of whatever. Because if you think of a farmer, they plant the seed, And that would be like, why don't I have crops tomorrow?
Right. You know? It's like, exactly.
But on the internet, we think everything's going to happen instantaneously. And I think sometimes it's nice to like step back for a second to be like, yeah, things can happen quickly, relatively speaking, but everything has its course, right? And it's having, I think, the patience. And this is why like having mentors like yourself can be so valuable, because you can give them that perspective to say, hey, you spent an hour on the Facebook stuff, but like, that's 1 hour. That's not, you know, several months or years of mastery. And I think that's something we're lacking now because of this kind of quick fix, Insta fame type of world we live in, is that we've kind of, I'm not going to like, you know, compare us to like the Renaissance and Michelangelo and stuff, but there's this dabble mentality as opposed to mastery mentality of really sitting with something and committing to it. And I think that, you know, what you just shared in terms of like having that patience is so important for that, because that's where success comes from. Right? It's not like this didn't work, I'm going to jump onto something else now. Right.
Yeah. So true.
You mentioned something just before we wrap this up a few moments ago about kind of like your joy, your happiness. I want to ask you a question that I ask everyone we have on the show, which is basically just kind of answering or filling in the blank to this question is, or not this question, but the statement, I know I'm being successful when. How do you answer that?
I know I'm being successful when my head hits the pillow and I say, you've done a good job today. Like for me, that is, and I smile, you know, I go to sleep and I'm smiling. It doesn't happen every night, going to be honest, doesn't happen every night. But then I get a great opportunity to make it happen the following day. Yeah. And so, you know, we only have the moment. That's all that's guaranteed. Right. And so I'm just grateful every night to like have another day under my belt where hopefully I had some joy and happiness and got to spread that to other people as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when I ask this question, there's two answers that usually come up. One is that kind of internal feedback and the other is external, right? It's like I hear from clients or we get reviews and testimonials, and I don't think one or the other is, you know, right or wrong, but I agree with you what you mentioned a couple moments ago of like this internal validation as opposed to the external validation. And I think that is more important than ever now to go to bed at night knowing you did the best you could, right?
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. That's really, really good wisdom. And hopefully more people take it to heart to know like, hey, you can only do you. Don't worry what everyone else is doing. As long as you give your best, that's what matters.
That's it. That's all we can do. That's what we have control over. We don't have control over anybody else or anybody else's actions. And so, yes, it's a nice way to end the day and a great way to then start the new day fresh, ready to go.
That's awesome. Clint, this has been tremendous. Thank you so much for sharing a part of your journey with us and opening up some of the behind the scenes. For our listeners, for our viewers who want to kind of keep an eye on you online, and like what would be the best place for them to follow your work?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to dsoa.com if you're interested in like our business model and how we're doing things. If there's any studio owners listening, please check us out. And I'd love to hear from you. I'm on Facebook, Clint Salter. You can find me, shoot me a message. Happy to help in any way that I can. But you're in awesome hands with Yuri here and the incredible work that him and his team are doing.
Awesome. Clint, thank you so much, my friends. Thanks as always. And everyone else, thank you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to The Healthpreneur Show. Are you ready to take the next step in growing your health business? We'd love to send you a free training that has helped our clients grow to 7 and 8 figures in their business. Sound good? Text the word training to 647-424-5280. Again, for the free training, text the word training to 647-424-5280. If you enjoyed this show, we would love for you to leave a review on your favorite podcasting platform. That's the best way for platforms to know that they should get the show in front of more people just like you. And if you're looking for more incredible content to help you grow your business, check out the show notes of this episode, where we'll have links to our highest rated episodes of The Healthpreneur Show. We'll see you next time.